I see Honorable Chirwa has logged in. I've just spoken to Honorable Shengwa. She is trying to log in. I want to check if Honorable Munyane has logged in too. I see Honorable Hasina has logged in. Honorable Engwa, have you logged in? Honorable Nyai? Honorable Sokacha? We'll give it another just 3 minutes for those to log in, because I've sent it on WhatsApp how to do it. Just go back the same way. Okay.
Comrade Chair.
Yes, sir.
I have an apology bit for later for Honorable Sukacha.
You have it later. What do you mean you have it later?
But you can have it, David, now too. I'm just informing you since you called his name.
Well, he's not joining it.
So when you come to apologies.
Okay. So let's wait for Munyane, 2 minutes. And Kengwa, 2 minutes.
Chairperson. Chair.
Yes.
Dr. Lom.
I'm listening.
Yes, I just want to report that where I am, the network is just so bad. you might have noticed that I've been in and out. So when you do not see me, I'm on now, but the network is bad where I am.
Go back, Mam Sengwa. Use the same link that we're giving you, and then you.
No, it's not Sengwa. It's Janji.
Honorable Janji, I'm on another call speaking to Mam Sengwa, who has not logged
okay.
in. Listen to your
right.
story. That network.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Honorable members, let us start. Good morning to all of you. We have two members who are going to be probably logged in the next minute or so. That would be Honorable Sengwa and Honorable Munyai. We have already received the apology of Honorable Sokacha, and we'll hear if there's any other apology. But from the secretary, she has not received any. Except for the one that is from now Honorable. The acknowledgement of members that we have just since done it a bit as we're logging in, and then we give a member who's going to do this private member's bill presentation and then a discussion and closure. Let me start by apologizing that firstly, our parliamentary staff listened to us when we said we'd like to go on a Zoom, it's better, able to work well, but there were just some logistical hiccups that we have since overcome now, and we will be able to proceed with the meeting throughout till the end. That was the first approach I want to do on behalf of the staff, because that other one, Microsoft Teams, was a bit challenging to most of us. Number two, just a reminder to members that we have another meeting tomorrow as a portfolio committee. Please be reminded of that meeting where we will be doing the Department of Health, National Department of Health, the annual performance plan and the strategic plans and discussion thereon. The meeting, I understand, also is scheduled to start at 10, and they will then go into that. Can therefore we confirm that Ms. Vuyogazi, there is one apology that has just been tabled now, Honorable Sokacha. Any other member who has any other apology that they would like to say, maybe either leaving early or any other member I might have missed? Thank you. It doesn't look like there's any other apology except for Honorable Sokacha. We wish Honorable Geller to recover completely. She has just been to a doctor a week ago and had some procedures done on her, but she's recovering and we wish her that she really speedy recovers. Thanks that you were able to log in into this meeting. Honorable members, we have for us now, the next item will be done. We were informed that in the fifth parliament, there was work that had not been completed by this portfolio committee. Among those responsibilities, by the way, which we have asked them to be listed and then we can go through them, was a private member's bill that was brought into the attention of the portfolio committee by Honorable Tem Bekwayo, who is here. And I would imagine she was bringing that on behalf of her party. She is here today to make that presentation to us as a committee. I have spoken to her briefly. She is the one who is going to lead the presentation. Towards the end, Honorable Chirwa will come in to complete two or three slides. Then we open it for discussion. I would want to, before we start, see a familiar name is honorable, it's not honorable, is Mr. Joe Gatla, the parliamentary liaison officer of the minister. He is here accompanied by some senior officials in the department, some from legal and others from the district directorate. I do not exactly know. It's important when you get into these meetings to know the representation from the department. I need to apologize up front. The minister is unable to join us with his DG. There is a cabinet lehoda started today. And he also will not be available tomorrow, but the presentation will be done by some other officials. For today is for us to listen to the presentation, get to be clarified on it, and get to process it the normal way it is processed. Before I call Honorable Tem Bekwayo, may I get Joe Gatla to introduce the delegation from the Department of Health that is here in this meeting. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. Yes, in the meeting, Chair, we should have Mr. Ramphelane Morewane. He's a Chief Director on District Health Systems and responsible for issues that deal with the clinics as we have on the agenda. And from the legal services, we have Advocate Korotlo Mwabelo, who normally then would lead the department in the legislative process. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much for that. I see all our members are well behaved. They have zoomed, they've actually switched off their mic, which we are now going to continue, also for us, myself included, and give this opportunity now to Honorable Tem Bekwayo to start her presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson of the Committee on Health, Honorable Dr. Dlomo, and honorable members present in this virtual Zoom meeting, the secretaries on health, Vuyo and Bali specifically, and researchers, and all present on this platform, including the delegation from the Department of Health and Legal Representative. Thank you so much for the opportunity provided. I just like to make you aware that I will possibly be accompanied by our whips of EFF in Parliament, specifically our EFF Caucus Whip, and who is our national chairperson, Honorable Veronica Zovuyomente, who will also take part in deliberations on responses to the possible questions which will be posed by the honorable members during questions and or discussion period. Honorable Naledi Chirwa, who is a permanent member on Committee on Health, will also be part of the presentation and will present the continuations from the likely impacts of the bill, the resource implications, and conclude the matter of the day. The presentation is a National Health Amendment Bill, a private member's bill presented by me to the Portfolio Committee on Health this day, which is the 7th of October, 2020. Vuyo. Chairperson and members of the Committee on Health. Let me just do this. Chairperson and members of the Committee on Health, the Economic Freedom Fighters hereby introduces the National Health Amendment Bill for deliberations by the committee. The bill seeks to amend the National Health Act of 2003, in brackets Act Number 61 of 2003, in order to provide that clinics in the public sector must operate and provide health services 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. In its current format, Section 4 in brackets 3 of the National Health Act makes provisions for the kind of services clinics and community health centers must provide, but this does not include operating hours. Section 7, which is part of the constitutional context of the Constitution, affirms the Bill of Rights as the cornerstone of our democracy, and that it enshrines the rights of all in our country. It also enjoins the state to respect, protect, promote, and fulfill this right. Section 10. Sorry, Chairperson, somebody's mic is on and it's disturbing, it's causing an echo here.
Ma'am Sheng, well, come in and switch off your mic, please. Parliament YouTube streamer, I don't know whether you must stay on, but okay. Ma'am Shengwa has switched off, I hope so.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Section 7 of the Constitution affirms the Bill of Rights as the cornerstone of our democracy, and it enshrines the right of all in our country. It enjoins the states to respect, protect, promote, and fulfill these rights. Section 10 of the Constitution states that everyone has inherent dignity and the right to have their dignity respected and protected. Section 11, Chairperson, further, of the Constitution provides for a variety, very important right for everyone in this country, the right to life. More importantly, Section 27 in brackets of 1 in brackets A of the Constitution affirms that everyone has the right to have access to healthcare services, including reproductive healthcare. Section 27 in brackets 2 of the Constitution provides that the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within its available resources to achieve the progressive realization of each of these rights. The legislative measure, as envisioned by the Constitution, is the National Health Act, passed into law in 2003. It is the provision of this law that we seek to amend in order to have a more tighter enforcement of the constitutional provisions to dignity, to life, and to quality healthcare. The state of healthcare in South Africa. South Africa has a bifurcated healthcare system split between the private and public healthcare sectors. Over 82% of the population do not have medical aid insurance and are therefore dependent on public healthcare. Only 18% have medical aid and can afford to go to private health institutions whenever they have medical complications. This means that 82 out of every 100 South Africans depend on public healthcare. This translates to about 45 million South Africans. There are 422 hospitals opened for 24 hours a day, catering for a variety of health needs of the citizens of this country. By 2018, there were 3,841 clinics and community health centers in the country. Some of this came with community-based services, such as environmental health services, school health teams, and community health workers. Of this, 3,477 are fixed primary health care, in brackets, clinics, facilities, and are opened for only a prescribed period of time per day. These clinics are increasingly providing critical health services to the people, and there is a growing demand for their services. In the 2015-2016 financial year alone, over 127 million clinic consultations were provided, and more than 3.4 million patients on antiretroviral therapy got their help from clinics and community health centers. This includes support given to pregnant women, to the injured, the elderly, etc. So, Chairperson, what is the problem? Clinics normally open 7 o'clock and until 4 o'clock from Monday to Friday. While this is generally the norm, there are exceptions to this. The city of Johannesburg in 2017 extended operating hours for the clinic's control to 18 hours. And in 2018, adopted a resolution to open their clinics for 24 hours a day. The limited operating hours for clinics severely constrain access to the critical primary health care. It infringes on the rights of citizens to have access to health care and when needed. Can you proceed with the slide? Health services challenges are not limited to specific time periods and can afflict a person at any time of the day or night. Millions of South Africans are denied their right to have access to health services as enshrined in the Bill of Rights because an insufficient number of health facilities are open after hours, thus denying South Africans access to health facilities should they fall sick or become injured after hours. People do not only get sick or suffer injury during the day when clinics are open. Many South Africans live too far from hospitals and are therefore unable to access healthcare establishments all the time. Clinics are, in most instances, the most effective and accessible healthcare provision center. Bill seeks to amend Section 4 of the National Health Act of 2003 by adding a further subsection, which in the case of the Act would be subsection 4 in bracket 4. This new subsection must read as follows. Clinics funded by the state must provide the services referred to in subsection in brackets 3, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. The following will be presented by Honorable Naledi Chiro. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Susan Tembegwayo. I will address the likely impact of the bill, the resource implications, and thus on likely impacts of the bill. The first impact of this bill, if it is passed into law, is that it will increase access for the working population, most of whom who are at work during the normal operational hours of the clinics. Second impact is
Just hold on a bit. Honorable Kenny Jacobs, please switch off your mic. You can continue, Honorable Naledi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second impact of this bill is that it will lessen the load on hospitals, which are often overburdened when people go to the outpatient sections of the hospitals for ailments that could have been easily treated in our local clinics or in clinics in our communities. Thirdly, it is the right of citizens to access healthcare as and when they get sick, and people get sick all the time. Sickness is not limited to clinic operating times. Lastly, for millions of people who live far from hospitals, this bill will secure their constitutional rights to dignity and healthcare all day long. Can we please move to the second slide? Now, on the resource implications, we do indicate in the bill that the passing of this bill would require the Department of Health to employ additional staff. However, what the bill purports to do easily counterweighs any cost constraints, and the department must be in a position to progressively build into their budgets these additional posts. In conclusion, Chairperson, our goal, and I believe everyone's goal, is the attainment of universal health care. The challenges faced by the public health care system need a structured, comprehensive intervention that would look at resolving problems of infrastructure, availability of medication and medical equipment, availability of human resource. This bill is aimed at resolving one of many of these challenges. It is an important intervention that ought to be supported by all of those who say and who put the health interests of the majority of our people ahead of any other interest. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tirwa. Honorable Mente, have you logged in? I was informed that the whip of the party will support this presentation, and now I give an opportunity to Honorable Mente, if she's logged in, to give a presentation.
Excuse me, Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
But the point of alteration, I think I mentioned that she will come in on when we answer the questions posed by the members of Parliament present today.
Okay, I'm checking again if she has logged in, because now I'm going to open a space for questions. Now, Honorable Mente will be able to support if she has been able to hear what are the questions being asked. Or how are we going to do that? Has she logged in? or maybe you'll find a way to send their questions and then at the time. All I was just checking, has Honorable Mente logged in now?
She hasn't logged in, but we'll be able to engage her in one way or the other. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I was listening to the presentation, Honorable Members. I did not look at my WhatsApp as to who is going to speak. Maybe let me take this opportunity now to manually check with you. Okay, let me just check the name. I'll give you as I see on the screen. First one is our dear friend who has brought some bananas with her from Limpopo. Honorable Wilson will be the first speaker, followed by Honorable Van Staden. The third one will be Honorable Jacobs. The fourth one will be Honorable Munyai. Now, can you colleagues raise your hands? If you don't, I will ask your names. Now, let me just check. I have four. And then Honorable Janji, you are number five. Let me just check. Where is Honorable Kwakhobe? She's logged in. Honorable Kwakhobe, are you in?
Yes, I'm here. I did raise my hands. I think I'll be number six after Uma Mujangi.
Biwe is number six. Hasina, are you there? Honorable Kela. Okay, Kela and Hasina, no response. So Kacha is off. Who else? Thank you.
We do have questions, and those will be raised by Honorable Kwarube and Honorable Ishmael. Just a question before we start, though, sir. Do we not have the department before we raise questions on this to give their inputs? I think that's also quite necessary.
No, we will not do it that way. We'll do it differently. We just want the members to interact with the proposed amendment bill.
Okay. All right, Chair, just from my side, more of a comment than as a question, and I'm very pleased she raised it. Dr. Themba Kwaya did raise that in 2017, the city of Joburg under the DA administration at that time did extend hours of clinics and passed a resolution later with regards to the 24 hours things. And I think that the DA in Johannesburg did a very good job on this. And I'm glad that she raised it. Thank you.
Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just a few questions from my side and actually a few comments also. When we have visited some of the rural areas in across the country with a public participation process of the NHI bill, and especially in the Eastern currently across South Africa. So my questions arise from that, on this bill, and it is the following. I just want to make sure how will clinics operate on a 24/7 basis if there is still clinics in the most rural areas in this country who does not have efficient beds, water, medicine, doctors, or nurses. On my view, it is nice to put it into law to say that clinics must be open on a 24/7 basis. But with all of this in mind, and with all of this outstanding, my question is, how will this bill solve these problems? Another question is, from how much doctors and nurses will be working 24/7 in clinics, and how will it be conducted with especially in the rural areas where we could have a high crime rate and dangerous situations at nighttime. So how will that problem be addressed through this legislation? Fourth question is, as there is a shortage of doctors and nurses, and we saw it in this report this morning, where will this additional doctors and nurses come from? And we know we've got a very big problem in South Africa with these shortages of these staff members. So that's also an issue we must look at. And I want the question answer, how will it be worked around that problem to address this issue? And my last question is, with our current economic situation, where will the budget come from? And maybe the department can help here to answer this question, to employ these additional staff members to let these clinics operate on a 24/7 basis. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Pansaden. Next is Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you, Chairperson. We noticed this bill has been proposed in 2018 already. We also note that it seeks an amendment to the National Health Act of 2003. And for the purpose of having clinics operate for 24 hours per day, 7 days per week. But we also noticed that the bill is being proposed according to the procedure allowed by Section 76 of our Constitution. Now, Section 76 is a bill that affects the provinces and may be introduced into either the National Assembly or the NCOP. But essentially what that means is that each provincial legislature should also be attending to this bill, and it should be raised at each provincial legislature and then giving a mandate to the NCOP. Member has taken that into consideration and how what our suggestions are as to taking that forward. And then my second question would be, how many clinics are already open on this basis countrywide? And the third question is, has the member done any costing exercise? I've noticed what Honorable Van Staden was saying about costing, etc., and where the funding will be coming from. So she could maybe answer those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. The next will be Honorable Munyai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Most of the question relative to the cost has been addressed by Honorable Dr. Jacobs and Honorable Van Staden. What I want to propose, Honorable Chair, is that now that we receive this presentation, at least we have an opportunity as portfolio committee, to get the department, so that we receive, some responses from the department on this presentation, not today, but on the other dedicated day. And upon that, we can determine whether the bill is desirable or undesirable. So out of now, because in the presentation, I did not see any budget proposal or budget costing of the bill, except that some of the input, Honorable Chair, was just a slogan how other party would have performed or would have done elsewhere. But the key issue, any bill cannot just be passed for the sake of it. We must look at the cost, because this view of saying that we must just go and make it into law without having financial consideration, I don't think it's helpful. But for now, I'm unable to say that the bill is desirable or undesirable until, Honorable Chair, we have engaged with the Department of Health so that when they respond, we can make determination because they're the one that's supposed to implement as the executive, and ourselves as legislature, we formulate law, it's our task. And I think I've noted the EFF presentation by Dr. Tembekwayo and Honorable Chirwa in that respect. So on that basis, for today, I will not be able to indicate without having looking at the issues of the cost or presentation with the ministry, you know, to determine whether this bill is desirable or undesirable. I will be able to pronounce my position when really we have received the comments from the department. That's what I'll propose as a way forward, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Munyai. Before I call Honorable Janji, I noticed that there are two photos of Honorable Kwakhube. She brings one in a maroon dress and the other one in the current different one. Now, she must just clarify when her time comes, which one is which. It's not your turn as yet, Honorable Kwakhube. We are going to get Honorable Janji before you. But welcome, Honorable Mente. I see that you are logged in and you have religiously switched off your mic and we are listening because the team has told us that you will support them in answering the questions. Let me start now with Honorable Janji, who will immediately be followed by Honorable Kwakhube.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think some of the questions that I would have asked have been asked by the colleagues, but I would like to add on the Honorable von Staden talked mostly to the rural areas. If we could get a breakdown from the member on which areas by rural or urban that have got 24 hours operating at the moment, and which, how many of the clinics are not on 24 hours. Probably get a breakdown too by provinces, because we heard from Honorable Jacobs that provinces have to be taken on board on this. So we must get a breakdown by provinces. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Janji. Now is an opportunity for Honorable Kwakhube.
Thank you, Chair. This is how it works on Zoom. You have a profile picture and then you have the video. So that's why the maroon dress and then the actual me. Just a quick lesson on that.
You must send me.
All right, cool.
You must send me. That, yeah?
Okay, will do. Thank you very much. And thank you very much to Dr. Tembekwayo and her team. It was also very good for us to be able to engage with this piece of legislation before today's meeting, which is why I think we are well within our capacity to deal with it all today, really. I think that we can all agree, Chair, that the idea of having clinics, particularly at a primary healthcare level, open and available to South Africans at extended hours is something that we need to strive for. I think we can agree that it is, you know, it is obviously broadening access to primary healthcare to more people who are unable to do it. As Honorable Wilson had said, in the city of Johannesburg, we saw that it can be successful and it can provide and broaden access in that way. I do want to align myself with Honorable Wilson's question and perhaps to Munyai as well, that I think that the Honorable Tembekwayo has presented what their proposals are and where the amendments would be and what the benefits would be. But I've got questions which I think remain technical, that I think, you know, it's not just limited, the questions are not just going to be limited to be directed to Dr. Tim McGuire and her team, but also to the department, more particularly the legal services department. And so I would like them, Chair, at some point to make some pronouncements of on the work that they've done to look at how compatible is this amendment with the current legislation. Because the reason why I say that is because we are now currently sitting with a bill before Parliament, the National Health Insurance Bill, which is going to, in effect, change the way in which the National Healthcare Act is going to be implemented, should that bill be implemented. So how then does, for instance, an amendment like this tie into that process? That's the one question. Secondly, I mean, the issue around local clinics and provincial clinics. I know that in many provinces, some of the clinics are under the auspices of the local government, and in some of the provinces, they're under the auspices of provincial governments. That's why I think that it's also quite important for the legal services to make some pronouncement on how possible is this amendment to be done concurrently with the legislative program that we currently have in Parliament right now. Secondly, how will this impact instances where there's locally run and provincially run clinics? And thirdly, what are some of the legal considerations we as legislators have to make? I think this is, for me, not about getting permission from the department, whether or not they'll support it. I think Honorable Munyai is mistaken about that. We are the legislators, not the department. They are the executive. We make the laws, they implement the laws. So we need to satisfy ourselves that, in fact, this bill or this amendment ticks the legislative boxes. And I'm no legal expert, and so I really would like to hear from legal services on the implications of an amendment like this. Thank you so much.
Okay, the next one is Honorable Ella.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, not only Johannesburg that has extended working hours in the clinics, but even in some areas, for instance, in Gauteng, we do have clinics that are operating 24 hours in our space. For instance, Ibekezi that it's operating 24 hours, Mohlakeng it's operating 24 hours, and even in other region, for instance, Tshwane, I know there's a clinics that operate in Ekurhuleni. So this is something that the ANC has initiated, the government led by the ANC initiated, that we must have clinics that are operating 24 hours, which is something that it's been implemented in some of the areas. Then the other issue, Chair, it's an issue of us. When I was listening or looking at the presentation, the challenges that we are faced with, the issue of resources, I'm not going to talk about it because already most of the members have highlighted, but also the issue of challenges that we are faced. I think the issue of medical aid that member Tembekwai, Dr. Tembekwai, has raised, really, it's true. But the only thing that will help us to resolve all this problem, it's the issue of implementing NHI. If we can implement NHI, Chair, it's going to address all the challenges that we are faced as a health department. I'm happy because even the person who's responsible with health, clinics at the district level is here. He can also attest to what I'm saying, that the only solution is only for us to implement NHI as a country so that we can also cover other areas that are not covered. And we are just from the NHI public hearing where we had people were complaining about some health facility, but the NHI is going to save us, and also to make sure that it also creates more jobs for our people. So I think the department chair must also guide us, the Department of Health, in terms of making sure that this what they are saying about this amendment bill. But I'm definitely sure, Chair, that in Gauteng, it's not only Joburg because of the DA. No, that one, Chair, it was implemented before even the DA lead in Joburg. So we do have clinics that are operating 24 hours. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the next one is Honorable Hlengwa. Thanks, Honorable Gela.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, let me welcome the presentation that Dr. Thembekwayo was doing to us and make us aware what is happening into our sector. Thank you very much, Doctor. But I have three concerns. One, in the KZN, there are some clinic which is operating in 24 hours, but there are those in rural areas because of the criminals and et cetera, and shortage of staff, they are not working in 24 hours. That is the problem of the KZN. But the most of the clinics, where are the in urban clinics, are operating in 24 hours. Secondly, let me say that, having said that, but how many state clinics are funded for these programs? Because if I said there are some rural areas who are not operating, one would say we don't have money for doing that, shortage of staff and et cetera. And I would like to know, are all the clinic have their funding for this program? Secondly, the proposed amendment is not restricted to only certain services provided and extended to all primary healthcare service in terms of Section 3 of the National Health Act. This will put a major problem in terms of the budget, because I don't think that this bill was introduced in 2018, and when it was going to be implemented in 2019, we didn't do this because of this pandemic. I now have that in mind, that what about the budget for this? Because it's neither more budget, it's neither more absorbing of the staff. Lastly, the bill is also silent on financial cost aspects and only focuses the employment of additional staff. It does not provide any detail of this aspect and does not take into account that it will not only extend to the additional employment of nurses and doctors, but also administration staff and arguably additional security at night, because when one would in the clinic was working, there should be a staff with administration and there should be a security, of which this bill must be bear in mind on that. And lastly, it is unclear whether there was any consultation with experts on the need for the rollout of all the services in terms of Section 3 of the National Health Act. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shengwa. I have not seen yet the hand of Honorable Hasina. If she is there, she can come in now. Okay, but Honorable Wilson indicated that comprehensively their questions were going to be raised by Honorable Kwakhube, that she did. Maybe let me then proceed and raise some of my other clarity-seeking questions. I want to amplify the point raised by Dr. Gyanji, and maybe just to say if there could be clarity on the preliminary research done by the party, the EFF, with regards to a breakdown in terms of these clinics in both rural and urban, how many in the rural are currently not 24 hours versus those that are 24 hours, how many in the urban that are 24 hours versus those that are not 24 hours. It will assist that, and maybe if there could be also information per province, which province has the highest number of facilities that are not 24 hours. My three points I wanted to raise, starting with this one, is that there are people who are on the road, even when some of us are sleeping, the truck drivers. Has the presentation included those facilities that the Department of Health has provided on the roads, major roads, as 24-hour health facilities to assist the truckers? Is that part of that? Because sometimes there are people who need facilities at night much more than the ordinary population and the other truck drivers. How many of those truck stops with health facilities are in the country, if that information has also been factored in the presentation? I also wanted to check, because there's been an innovation by the department to do taxi rank, to provide taxi rank on services in the event that the clinic is closed at 5 o'clock, I come back from work and now it's 5 o'clock, that taxi rank in that place in East London is helping me to see. Has there been any quantification of the taxi rank health facilities in the presentation that we have? How widespread in the country are those? The last from my side is to, what provisions are made in those communities currently now that are not having a 24-hour service? What do they do in the event there is any? Are there any provisions? If there are, what are they? If they are not, maybe let's hear them. Thanks. Those are my last point. And now we will give back to the leadership that made presentations to then go through the responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by saying that we welcome the questions posed to us as economic freedom fighters, because the questions serve as strengthening and improvement and or notings on matters that we cannot provide a response, which obviously means we will note some of the questions and respond to you in writing pertaining to such questions. What the process is going to run in this manner. I will comment on some of the questions and then give Honorable Naledi Chirwa to comment also on the questions that I've left out. And lastly, our whip in the caucus of the EFF, Honorable Veronica Mente, will provide in actual fact the last comments on the issues that we didn't address. Let me start by, in actual fact, talking on the question that is echoed by almost all members. And before starting on the questions, I would like to acknowledge the positive comments made by the honorable members like Honorable Wilson, Honorable Gela, and Honorable Hlengwa, who acknowledge the fact that there are some municipalities in South Africa that are already in the process of this opening of 24-hour clinic, and they haven't reported any problems so far. And I'm also pleased to note that there are some honorable members who have also added, we only made an example of Johannesburg, a city that has a very successful 24-hour clinic program running. But I'm also happy to say there is also an addition that we got from the members that definitely are positive and say there are some existing clinics that are operating on 24 hours. On matters of funding, where will the funding come from to pay the extra nurses, doctors, and as it was also asked, the security, inclusive of those that will be doing the administration job? The response is the department must adjust their budgets accordingly. This is a national priority that should not be stopped because of cost concerns. And as we mentioned earlier, there are 18,000 vacancies, as it was announced, vacancies for nurses. We have vacancies for doctors before COVID-19. We don't know what the case is now, but full employment of these nurses would deal with this issue. The process of legislation making must not be hindered by operational concerns. We make laws that we think are reasonable and fair. The department must operationalize this. On the question of breaking down on which areas, rural, per provinces, which have clinics and so on, I would simply say, we don't have that information yet. And because some clinics are run by the municipality and some by provinces, it's not easy to get it timelessly. This can be supplied by the department who have the statistics and the thorough knowledge of where this is operational. So I think I was just able to address those few questions, and I will give over to Honorable Naledi Chirwa to go further with the engagement of the questions posed, and she will be followed by our caucus whip, Honorable Veronica Mente. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Susan Tembegwayo, and our whip, Honorable Veronica Mente. Firstly, thank you to the committee as well for welcoming this engagement and this bill and deliberating on it. It is a very important process because it allows us to sharpen contradictions and to highlight the direction we should take legislatively as members of parliament, especially in this committee, in ensuring that the best legislation is implemented with us overseeing the process. I think it's Honorable Van Staden, who raised the concern of resources and equipment in rural areas and township areas. This bill does not speak necessarily to the issue of resources and equipment. And it was said very overtly, even in the very end, that it addresses one of the many challenges in our public healthcare system or our public healthcare sector. And the issue is access. There are hundreds of women who are pregnant who turn back at the doors of the clinic, or we have to wait until 7 a.m. because the hospital is too far to give birth. There are also instances where women can't access sexual reproductive health rights in their nearest clinics in due time because the clinic is closed. I'll give an example, which was also raised with Minister Bekele not so long ago, of a young girl who was raped. She was turned back at the police station, she was raped on a Friday, turned back at the police station, went to a clinic, and it was closed. Now, this was also a travesty of justice because this young girl will never ever find justice for what happened to her because the necessary health intervention did not take place within the period of 3 days. She did not access PEP in 24 hours. She did not get her DNA taken from her so that it can be stored or put in a docket with the police. And the issue of healthcare is thus very intricately linked to an issue of justice for many women and children across the country who are the primary accessors or consumers, in the wrong word, of public healthcare. And secondly, that is why the issue of raising crime thus also is a digression from what this bill seeks to do, really, because we want to bring access to healthcare services, which is, as stated in the presentation, is the right of each and every South African citizen and those living in South Africa as per our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And secondly, on the issue of how many clinics are already opened for 24 hours, this presentation also addresses that. It was said here on the state of clinics, by 2018, there were 3,841 clinics and community healthcare centers in the country. And the second point, of these, 3,477 are fixed primary healthcare clinics facilities and are opened for only a prescribed period of time per day. This means that as at 2018, only 364 clinics were open for 24 hours of the 3,841. Now, we all agree on the possibilities on why this is actually a progressive move. And I was actually very concerned with the comment given by Honorable Munyai on that their support is based on whether this would be cost effective, which I think should be secondary to what we are trying to bring to the fore. People don't have access to healthcare in township areas, in rural areas. And also, Honorable Geller raised the issue of the NHI being a solution to the problems that we seek to fix with this legislation. And I'd like to really disagree, really, because the NHI, if anything, is an exposure of the failure of the ANC to ensure that the public healthcare sector is capacitated to take care of the 82% of people that rely on the public healthcare sector. Now, what the NHI seeks to do is to outsource healthcare services from the private care sector. That is not a solution to our public healthcare sectors. It does not resolve the issue of infrastructure in our public healthcare sector. It does not resolve the issue of resources. It does not resolve the issue of equipment shortages. And again, it does not resolve the issue of accessing health, because even in the NHI, there is a part that says your first point of contact of a healthcare center should be where you go to. This means that if you live in Mamelodi, in the place that I live in, if I get sick, my first point of contact or health facility I should go to is the Mamelodi West Clinic, which opens from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. The NHI does not speak to resolving that situation. And that is why the proposal of this bill is thus very important, because the issue of immediate access is what we want to achieve in terms of achieving primary health care and prevention, especially for the poor people in our country, in rural areas and in township areas. And also on the issue of additional nurses and doctors, of where will they come from? I think it was raised also by Van Staden. There is currently a forum of interns that have not been placed or allocated space. And there's thousands of them who formed this group because they are nurses, they are doctors, and have not been allocated space so that they can practice or train. So the issue of the resource that could be found from the country is actually a very simple issue, because there are many doctors who are currently unemployed in South Africa, who are coming in every year from Cuba and being placed on hold and not getting a allocation for practice. There are many nurses, we know of this, especially in this portfolio committee, who have not even received their certificates because the department is unable to place them to train in clinics and hospitals. And thus the issue of resource is just inherently resolved by the nature of our unemployment issue in the country and the oversupply of healthcare practitioners in South Africa, mainly nurses and doctors. Now, does this mean that we are not necessarily saying that we cannot expand the production of more doctors and nurses? What we are saying is that there's also room for that. And thus this question is also very important in that regard. I think we have answered majority of the questions, and as Honorable Dr. Susan Tambubai has already made an assertion, we will address the other questions in writing. But once again, thank you very much, Chairperson, for this engagement. Thank you very much to the portfolio committee members on this engagement, the comments, and the questions, I think we are going in the right direction, ensuring that we put very petty squabbles behind us and move towards ensuring that the best legislative processes are happening in our space as members of parliament in the Portfolio Committee of Health. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chirwa. This opportunity now is given to Honorable Mente, who also is accompanying and leading this delegation, making a presentation. Honorable Mente.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me apologize. I will not be able to show the photo. I'm on the phone to show my video. I'm struggling with the network this side. Chairperson, I must thank the committee for allowing this opportunity to the EFF for the private member bill as presented by Dr. Susan Tembekwai. Chairperson, we understand that what are the primary functions of Parliament is that we must deal with legislation, and we must make sure that we create a conducive environment for our people. We know and understand that we live in an era where we deal with a lot, and in particular, where the triple oppression of gender, of class, sexuality, and race is still prevailing. And in order to correct that triple oppression, we need to also correct the ways and means which the apartheid era was oppressing us. So we ought to deal with both repressive and ideological ways of oppression. So the state apparatuses are there to help us. But if we are going to continue in a manner in which we still have the repressive and ideological state apparatuses that are only open 4 hours to the people in the rural areas, to the people in townships, and we understand the position in which Black people, in particular Africans, are living under where health institutions are concerned. The centrality of regional hospitals and district hospitals is more than, in many areas, is more than 200 to 300 kilometers away. And that's the gap we need to bridge now. We must close that gap where a person, in order for them to access a proper hospital after fall, is when they have to hire a car and pay with their grant money, hire a buggy of someone or a car of someone in the rural areas in order for them to reach a hospital, which is not necessary. There's also a question of primary health care that should be available to everyone. And we understand that the saying goes, prevention is better than cure. So if we want a healthy society and a society that lives free of the repressive and ideological oppression, we ought to have institutions, in particular of healthcare, that are open 24/7, just like we do with the police stations. Now, the matter of costing should not by in any way or means be a hindrance to us amending the law and make it conducive and make the law that's going to accommodate our previously disadvantaged people. Because costing is a priority of cabinet. We here focusing on the law. So when we deal with the issues of costing, like Honorable Naledi said, it comes secondary. The main goal is to access clinics. The main goal is to make sure there is sufficient human resource The main goal is to make sure that there is safety for our people. So we understand that there is a GBV issues that are escalating at a supersonic speed in South Africa. And the major contributing factor to prosecution which does not become successful in 90% of GBV cases, clinics that are not open after four are the main contributor to that. Because one, whether you are beaten, whether you are raped, whether you are any way assaulted or sexually assaulted, you ought to have someone to make a report that indicates your injuries. And in a case of rape, a report that is sensitive in a manner which specimens must be taken. But if a clinic, a hospital that can do that is 300 kilometers away from a person, how is that possible? And how can change the law through justice? We will not then be successful if there still is no access to healthcare, to health professionals, and to clinics. We have seen what has been happening in our clinics lately, even with the operation of other district hospitals and regional hospitals that are around us. But the influx which and the overburdening of those hospitals are caused by the closure of clinics that are nearby to the people. So we want to urge the committee to look into that and not to prioritize the issue of cost, because costing then becomes a secondary matter and a matter in which we have to engage both Treasury and the minister and the department in charge of health. So those nitty-gritties are things that we can tie at the end. But right now we need to focus on our primary duty, which is to make sure that we make a law that is going to accommodate our previously underprivileged people and disadvantaged people, and to deal also with the triple oppression of race, class, and gender. We understand very well who are those people that are within the category which is still oppressed to date under a democratic dispensation. So if we want to do away with all those elements which the apartheid system has been using to oppress us, and the democratic dispensation is trying to correct now, we ought to make sure that the laws we make are the laws that create a space that is conducive for our people. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much for the three leaders, one after the other, who have actually been responding to the questions. Among other things I picked up, I've always been eagerly wanting to know the views of the EFF with regards to the universal health coverage, NHI. Today, I started getting that response and their view on that matter. But that is not our focus for today. The opening responses of Honorable Thembe Kwayo indicated that the questions some of them raised will be attended to through either writing back and maybe further work to be done. And as the Honorable Mente is also making the closure, is saying there are still things to be tied up by. The legal implications, the costing implications are things that will come and will have to be presented and be done by the department. So it answers the Honorable Wilson's question that the Chief Director of Digital Health Systems who's here and the legal advisor of the department will not be brought in to make comments and answer some of the questions, because this has to be taken back and become a collective work and responses by the executive member of that department and all other senior leaders who will then be supporting this process. Number two, I think it was Honorable Kwakhube who also says, we too as honorable members may need to get some legal input from Parliament. So this matter is therefore not closed today, but is starting a process going forward. All we did today was to say, can we be appraised by the presentation, which was well articulated and written down? And number two, the department was here, represented by three leaders who will then take this back to the leadership of the department. We too will do our own homework in Parliament. And then I would like to plead with the members that maybe we skip 1 week and be ready to take the process further in whatever steps we'll take it in the other week. Either we get the department to come in, not the week starting the 16th, but the other week starting the 19th, we look for a date there. But we'll liaise with you if we do, so that we can bring back this item in that regard, or we could see if we can bring it earlier. I would like to bring this meeting to a close. But before that, let me then say, honorable members, you will be getting a letter that was written to the speaker, that was written by the speaker to myself, accompanied by a memorandum that was brought by Nehau. And Nehau specifically wanted various portfolio committees helping one of them to listen, to actually look into that memorandum and give responses. We have since taken back that memorandum. I've done that on your behalf, send that memorandum to the minister. I said, Minister, this committee would want to engage with you in terms of this memorandum, because we are unable to respond to Nehau until and unless we have had a chance with the minister. So I will also be calling on you as soon as we are able to get a response from the minister to engage with that member. We finish the meeting, and an instructive letter from the speaker that came to us that please look into this memorandum and give your responses. Only then, honorable members, because I can't comment on that memorandum, I'm commenting on your behalf without your engagement. We can only do a response, a proper one, after the minister has engaged or sent his responses to us to that memorandum, and two, when we have collectively given your chair a mandate to say this, that, and the other, or engage with Nehau. May I therefore bring this meeting to a close and hope that all members will log in, hopefully Zoom again, which is very friendly, tomorrow just before 10 when we start another meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me pause for a minute if there's any member who would like to have any other issue before we close that I might have missed out. If none...
Honorable Chair.
Yes.
Now, I would suggest that we proceed in the manner that you have closed the meeting, because if I raise my view, it will lead to reopening of the session.
Yeah, no. This was the start of a debate. We are not closing it today. We would want to respectfully give the department to come to us and they give their spot. We will still engage with the discussion. The honorable members of the EFF did indicate they were able to answer some questions. They've indicated they would also want to give more input some other time, or send it once they've been able to look into some of the questions raised. So we are not going to give another round of questions now. If we are provoked, Honorable Munai, just hold it to that. You'll get a space some other time. You'll collectively respond on that day. Thank you very much. Yes. Then the meeting is adjourned till tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am Sheng, why were you hiding your face?
When?
When you spoke, we did not see you.
Ooh, I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
Your video was off, Sheng.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Chairperson.
Yebo, ma.
Bega tengifuna ukusho ukuthi mhlambe kube ngaphandle komhlangano.